This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello.
And wow, we are middle July already.
Yeah.
And I want everybody who's listening right now to check their mailbox. Maybe you got it yesterday. Maybe you're going to get it tomorrow or within a couple of days. I'm talking about a letter from us here at Catholic Radio asking for your support here. During the summer months, things get kind of slow when it comes to donations. And that's true not only of Catholic Radio, but of any charitable organization. People don't intentionally stop giving. They just get busy on vacations and with all the kids' activities and things like that. And gee, sometimes things like that slip by the wayside. So maybe you can step in and help us out there a little bit. So we have mailed out a letter that's going to several thousand people around central Indiana here. And if you get one of those, we would ask you to please prayerfully think about it and respond to it if you can. And if you didn't get one, it's not because we don't like you. It's because you're not in our database. And it's not because we don't want your donation either. You can do that at our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Well, this morning we have, or today we have in our studio, a Deacon John Etter. He is a deacon of the Diocese of Lafayette, and he is actually stationed, if you want to call that, at Sacred Heart Parish in Cicero.
Yeah, right.
Welcome to Faith in Action.
Well, thank you very much. Great to be here.
And it's really, I came across your name or something. Something caught my eye. I read the Criterion, the Archdiocesan newspaper, and the Catholic Moment, and I happened to see some blurb about, you know, an ex-cop doing prison ministry or something with Eucharistic.
That sounds like a new TV series, doesn't it?
Yeah, is that a reality show or something? Yeah, you're the star of that, right?
Ex-cop. No.
And I just caught my eye, and I clipped it out, and I put it in my phone, and I thought, you know, I want to follow up with you and talk about that. So first, tell us a little bit about yourself. And you used to be a police officer.
Right, I was. I was a police officer for 32 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time.
It is a long time. And 29 and a half of it was with the Carmel Police Department.
Okay. Well, maybe that's where I've seen you, because I live in Carmel, so that because I recognize you. So
a traffic stop.
Yeah, no. I don't think I had that. I do have those occasionally. It wasn't with you though. So, Jim, you're busting me this morning. We're starting early, aren't we?
Well, I probably only wrote one ticket in my lifetime.
Oh, so. I believe that. You're very kind-hearted. I can see that. So, how did you grow up Catholic? Tell us a little bit about your background and then maybe how you ended up in the diaconate.
Well, I was a cradle Catholic.
Okay.
And my parents originally from the south side of Indianapolis, and I went to Sacred Heart Church on the south side.
All right.
For the first 3 or 4 years of my life, and then they moved up to Carmel. And that's when Our Lady Mount Carmel was forming, and they were charter members of that parish.
Oh, that's really neat.
They first came together. And I went to Catholic grade school there for 8 years, and I graduated in 1968. And then after that, I was like most young people. I started to explore other faiths and went to college and drifted a little bit. And then
we hear that a lot. I mean, I think that's like a common thing. But you came back, right? That's
yes.
A good part of the story, right?
Right, it is. And I was befriended by a Catholic or a Baptist chaplain at the Carmel Police Department, and I started going to his church for about 4 or 5 years, and during that time I really learned my Bible. And then there was a time I decided I can't escape the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was drawn back through the Eucharist and started practicing my faith again.
So then, how did you end up in the diaconate? Tell us about that journey. I mean, you came back to the faith, came back to the Eucharist, and when was that? Was the time frame of that roughly?
Well, it was toward the end of my career in the police department, and I probably had the calling before that, but I kept running away from it. And
we hear that story every once in a while, don't we, Jim?
But and then so I went ahead and started praying about it, and God told me He had something in mind, something else for me to do. And so upon my retirement, I was kept waiting and waiting for what God wanted me to do. And He finally told me, He says, I want you to enter the diaconate. And of course, I didn't want to do that again. Mm-hmm. And I just tried to follow His advice this time, follow His will.
Now, what's involved? It isn't just a sign here and you're a deacon.
No, it's not. And, you know, to go through the formation process, I mean, it was just like becoming a police officer again. You know, big background checks, mm-hmm. and they check everything about you. And they also involve the wives this time. And mm-hmm. So, you know, she had to go through the same testing that I did.
And have to go back to school and things, so to speak? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, we had to go back to school. Mm-hmm. And it was, I have a master's degree in U.S. history from Butler, and that's what I had planned to do in retirement. And so this
church history,
yeah,
you can just kind of marry those two, right?
Yes, you can. And so anyway, and that was a 5-year process or formation process. And so, and they, you know, I can't express how great that was going through that. We had a great formator, Deacon Steve Miller, mm-hmm. and he really let us know what to expect and what we needed to learn, and he was very...
Now, is that a full-time schooling, go away to school somewhere, or stay at home and do it, or how does that work?
Since our diocese does not have a seminary, they brought the instructors to us, and they brought in some great instructors from around the country. One comes to mind, Deacon Jim Keating.
Mm-hmm. And were there a number of... people all made deacons at the same time as you, or were you the sole graduate, so to speak?
No, well, there were, we started off with 7, and through the 5 years, 2 men discerned out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have the discernment process,
sure,
you know.
Right, sure.
And if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Deacon John Etter, and he is a deacon of the Diocese of Lafayette, and he is stationed. He's residing right at Sacred Heart in Cicero, Indiana.
And Deacon John, just the other day, I've heard the terms before, and I never tried to attach meanings to them of, it's permanent deacon, and the other one's not temporary deacon.
No, it's transitional.
Transitional,
deacon.
Okay.
Transitional deacon.
And what is the difference there?
Permanent deacons, I cannot, become anything besides a permanent deacon. Where a transitional deacon is a step between a step towards priesthood.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they usually, that can be, you know, usually in our diocese, it's about a year of formation, okay, as well. It's their last step before they're ordained priest.
Okay, and the kind of position of deacon, I know, is not new to the church in the big history of things, but to most people today it kind of is new. What can a deacon do and can a deacon not do?
Well, a deacon can do marriages, we can do funerals, we can take Eucharist, visit the sick, but we cannot administer the sacrament of the sick.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that.
You can preach, too, right?
Yeah, we can preach.
There's a lot of preaching, it seems, and, like, that I hear.
And read the gospel.
Read the gospel.
And I go to St. Lloyd de Montfort, and we have a deacon from time to time there. And you get to say the last words at Mass, right?
Right, I do.
Right. And we forget those quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the priest and the deacon look at each other, oops. and that's what the, what are the last thing you get to say at Mass there?
That could be, you know, we have 4 choices.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Go in peace, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Yeah. Okay, and so that's the deacon's last line of Mass.
That's the last line.
And now you guys, you can also do baptisms. Is that
that's
right?
That's right. Yes, we can do baptisms as well, and we can do marriages.
So maybe the easier thing to look at it is what you can't do. Like,
right.
Okay, so you can't do what?
Can't
confessions?
No, can't do confessions. Well, we can listen to them, but we can't absolve anybody. So,
okay.
So you don't want to do that. But you can also...
Interesting distinction.
And what was that? What was the other?
I forgot what I asked.
Okay. Well, you were asking about things they cannot.
Oh, yeah, well, you can't do.
Cool. Yeah, and of course we can't do minister the sacrament of the sick.
Okay. And the consecration of mass, of course.
Right. Of course. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So now what?
We can do communion services.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Right.
So, in terms of what you are assigned to do, now we're going to talk in our second half today. We're not there yet, but we're going to talk about the prison ministry that you do. But are you involved in any other ministries at Sacred Heart, or do you live there? Because I know it's different for every deacon in terms of what they're assigned to do. So, right. Do you have involvement at Sacred Heart?
Yes, I do.
Sister, talk about that right now.
Yeah, I am. Father Dale assigned me the visiting the sick ministry. So I will take communion to the homebound. Usually I like to do it on Sundays because it's, to me, it's more symbolic.
Sure.
What the day is all about,
sure.
You know, Christ visiting the sick. And so that's when I try to concentrate on that. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's some catechesis that I do. I work with RCIA, teach some classes. Usually in the summer I do a book study for the parish.
Uh-huh.
And
what are you doing now? Are you in one right now?
We're getting ready to start one. It's called The Last Hours of Jesus, from Gethsemane to Golgotha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And really looking forward to doing that. So,
wow. Now, you are retired and became a deacon, but you can be full-time employed and become a deacon. Is that correct?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can have a job. And when we get our assignments, they usually told us that they try to keep you within a half hour of your home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, my home parish at the time was St. Maria Goretti.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got my assignment, it was a 26-minute drive from my home to Cicero.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
just said, it under the wire there.
Right. I said, somebody must have driven that. So, yeah.
And that's without construction, right?
Right.
That changes everything with construction going on now.
It sure does.
Does Cicero have any roundabouts yet?
No, we don't.
No. Well, no. There's something for the future.
Then. Right, right.
Carmel's got enough they could share a few.
Right.
We need to take a break right here, and we'll be right back with more of our Faith in Action in just a moment.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Have you ever wanted to discover a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit and have your heart set on fire? Good. Then why not join us here at Catholic Radio for a DVD study series on the Holy Spirit called The Wild Goose. It's presented by Father David Pravanka, TOR, beginning September 3rd through April 3rd every other week. We will meet at 8383 Craig Street for discussion. For more information, please contact Sharon at catholicradioindy.org. or call 317-870-8400.
When you're tired of doing life alone, come back here. We enjoy the company. We hope you do too. Better together. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and we're here with our guest, Deacon John Etter. He is a deacon of the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, and he is at Sacred Heart in Cicero, and we're going to talk about some other things that you do, and one of the things that you've been involved in is prison ministry, and I want you to share a little bit about that, how you maybe got assigned to that, and then how what you do there, and how your life as a previous law enforcement officer, what kind of perspective that gave you in getting involved in that. So I've even forgotten my first question. Do you remember it? How'd you get involved in the prison ministry?
Well, it's an assignment.
Okay.
And but I was fortunate during my formation period that I did an internship at the Pendleton Correctional Facility, Pendleton, Indiana.
Which is in the Diocese of Lafayette.
Right.
So.
Right, and I was under the tutelage of Deacon Jim McDougall at the time. And I must say, when I was assigned that, I was not a happy person.
Yeah.
Being an ex-police officer, I figured, my first thought anymore, what are they trying to do, get me killed?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
Because you hear all these stories about ex-police officers in prison and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I...
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I can see where you're coming from there.
Yeah, and I knew a couple individuals that I had had dealings with that were in that prison.
Can you tell us a little bit about that prison? I only know
I don't know
one
anything
thing
about,
about that prison, and what I know about that prison is to the, I guess it would be just to the west of the prison, there's a great little apple orchard, and I get apple cider there every year. It's right alongside the prison there. But I did at one time live in Terre Haute, and I know that Terre Haute prison's a whole bunch different than the Pendleton. What's different about them?
Well, the prison in Terre Haute is a federal prison.
Okay.
And Pendleton's is a state prison.
Okay.
And
so based on your sentence, you would go to a various, or your severity of your sentence, you would go to a certain, how is it determined where you go?
It depends what law was violated.
Okay.
You know, there's federal laws and state laws.
Okay.
And, okay. And usually, you know, this most offenders are serving, state offenses for state offenses.
Okay.
Now, are there some prisons, though, for kind of even within the state laws, are there some prisons with... for lower-level offenders and some for higher-level?
Right, there is.
And where would Pendleton fit?
Pendleton has, actually it has three prisons in the vicinity. It's kind of like on a campus.
Oh, okay.
And the oldest one is the Pendleton Correctional Facility, and it's what we refer to as the walled prison.
Oh, okay.
It's got actually concrete walls around it. And then there's the Pendleton Correctional Facility, which is a level four as well. Mm-hmm. And level three, so there's offenders who are working their way through the system on their way out.
Okay.
And there's also a juvenile facility located there as well. And there's a deacon assigned to that presently. So
tell, do you service each one? And what are some of the things that you do? I know you have a something to do with adoration, right?
Right. I was assigned to two of the prisons, a correctional facility and then the industrial facility. And that was my assignments. And during that, what I would do there would, of course, help assist at Mass with the priest, Father Sean Poe, is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I would conduct Bible studies, book studies. And we also would have RCIA classes for offenders who were wanting to become Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think most people would think of... prisoners as maybe being kind of a hardened, tough person that not terribly interested in this religion stuff.
That's true. There are those, and then there's those who are there, searching for something greater than what they had in the past. And these individuals, it's really amazing to me. Was one thing that I learned that, after being a police officer, you did your job, and the courts took care of the rest.
Sure.
And you really didn't care what happened
to
those individuals. Right. But then when you go inside those walls and you see these individuals, you see that they are people. They are human. They have feelings. They have desires. And one of the things they really desire is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very touching to ask, when they ask for forgiveness from their victims. And it's tough
for
them because sometimes they can't advance unless they get this forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And do you have do you visit cell by cell, go down the hallway?
Yeah, what's the format of what you're doing when you go in there, and how often do you go? This is really fascinating, I think, because, Jim and I don't get to hear about this very, most people don't ever hear about this.
We drive by prisons or see a sign, the prison's over there, and... that's the extent of what we know about it.
Right.
Maybe say a prayer on the way by, and but go on.
Yeah, and so when you enter a prison, you have to go through a process. They pat you down. Mm-hmm. They go through all your material that you're bringing in because they're trying to keep the contraband down.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me.
Even deacons, right?
Even deacons.
Everybody gets the same treatment coming in.
Right. Everybody gets the same treatment. And after you go through that, then you go in behind the cell, or the iron bars is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they usually have a chapel for us to meet in where we can have our masses. But, it's a makeshift chapel. Mm-hmm. And the one at the correctional facility is an old wheelchair factory.
Oh, wow.
So the acoustics is not the best. And, of course, there's no kneelers. involved, and you know, to see these men kneel on the concrete floors.
Yeah, I was just visualizing that.
It's really amazing. And one of the things too, I also do is when we have time, is we'll do Eucharistic adoration. Mm-hmm. Where we bring the Eucharist in, and they have a monstrance there, mm-hmm. and to put that up on the altar, mm-hmm. and to see these men saying a rosary with tears coming down their eyes, mm-hmm. you know, that makes them human.
Is there any way that somebody listening to the radio right now said, "Boy, wow, that's a great thing"? I wonder, is there any way that somebody outside of a deacon can participate in this?
Yes, there is. You can volunteer to go into the prisons. You know, we're always looking for volunteers.
So will you bring people with you if they want to come in and go to Mass or read, or what would they do if they went with you? And we'll give your email, if that's okay. So people can get in touch with you if they want to go along or volunteer.
Right. That's a process as well. You just don't show up. You have to go through training.
Oh, okay.
And you have to sign paperwork, you know, releasing the state from, you know, if you mm-hmm. end up getting hurt or something like that, that they won't be liable. Mm-hmm. You also have to go through those pat downs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but believe me, being an ex-police officer, I can know what a good pat down is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough ministry. It mm-hmm. really is, mm-hmm. because some of the stories that you hear that the men will share with you, it could be very draining on you mentally.
Oh, I'll bet. How secure do you personally feel once you're inside the bars? How secure do you feel?
Well, I feel pretty secure because I got God with me and watching over us.
And you're a big guy too. Yeah. It's not like, you know, you're the slight, you know, slight guy. I mean, honestly, as a taller person, you know, I'd be somewhat, I'm a shorter person. You can't see me, but I would be really, I'd be really easy to mop up, you know, let's just put it that way. They'd size me up and say, "Yeah, I can mop that person up pretty quickly." Yeah. But you, maybe not so much.
Yeah. And we, you know, usually the volunteers too, when they go in with us, they'll sit with the men during the Mass, you know, and they're there for conversation as well.
Sure.
After Mass, you know, because all these men are, a lot of them are abandoned by their families once they get in there, and they don't have anybody on the outside to talk to. They don't get visitors, and this is an opportunity for them to talk to somebody besides, you know, a cellmate or somebody in their dormitory.
Sure. Do you have any story that you might call a success story of somebody who really wasn't too excited about this, but, you know, got out of his cell for a few hours, may as well go down there and talk to the guy, see what he's got to say?
Yeah, I mean, do people just kind of like, well, I don't have anything else better going on, I might as well just check it out, just like Jim said.
Right. That does happen. And, you know, these, like I mentioned, these guys are exploring because there's all kinds of different faiths represented in there. And probably the most story that impacted me was an individual. He was a gang member, and he was in isolation because of his behavior. Mm-hmm. And he had, as he told me, he said, "I reached rock bottom." And he said it was through watching EWTN TV and Mother Angelica. And he saw that she was offering him something mm-hmm. that he never had before.
Wow.
And so he went ahead and sent word out that he wanted to talk to a Catholic priest.
Wow.
And over time, Father Sean was able to visit him.
Mm-hmm.
And through his good behavior, he was able to get himself out of that isolation and come what they refer to as the general population. Mm-hmm. And he started coming to Mass. Then he started coming to RCIA. And he came into the church 3 years ago. And his confirmation name was St. John Paul II.
Wow.
So, and I mean, you know, you talk about it. And through his behavior and everything, he was able to, people noticed that his behavior, how it had changed,
mm-hmm.
how his life had changed. And he started bringing these individuals to Mass as well.
Oh,
and
that makes it worthwhile.
Sure it does. Sure it does.
And you know, when you're, I mean, think of yourself, if you were in solitary confinement, I mean, who else would you talk to but God?
Right.
You know, I mean, I think there would just be that natural inclination, even if you weren't of a faith background, you'd say, "God, if you're there, help me."
Right.
You know, and maybe that's what happened. And, mm-hmm. you know, so if people listening right now, I mean, what can we do to support your ministry in terms of, you know, is there, what could we do? You know, because it just seems like there's such a need and people, they are kind of forgotten, you know, they're away and they don't have anyone to talk to.
Right.
What would you, for our listening audience, what would you recommend for us if we wanted to try to support your ministry? We only have 2 minutes left, so okay. It's going to be a quick plea.
Okay. Of course, the first thing we can all do is pray. Right. Pray for the people who are doing the ministering and for the offenders inside, that the Holy Spirit touches their hearts and that they can find peace inside, because they're dealing with danger all the time. They're dealing with loneliness and, you know, they can't give up very easily. There's also the dangers of, you know, murder. You know, and
that's a real danger.
Yes,
you know,
it
happens.
Right. And, you know, that
so
they
fear,
don't.
Fear. It's
right,
fear, you right. know.
And then, you know, you don't have to also, you know, go into the prison too as well. There's other ministries that, you know, can help families outside, you know, their loved ones, you know, transport them back and forth to prison. There's mm-hmm. that available. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to contact the local prison and the coordinator for the volunteers.
And Deacon John, how can they get in touch with you yep. to find out more?
Okay. My phone number is 317-984-2115.
And what about your email? Here, I've got it right here.
Okay. dcn.jetter, capital letters, at dol-in.org. Or I'm sorry, .org.
Okay.
And you can always call Catholic Radio or Google us, and we'll get you connected.
We'll be sure to get them connected, too. And Deacon, if we could impose upon you for a short prayer, maybe a blessing before we wrap up our program today.
Okay. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings today. We pray for the victims of crime. We can't forget them as well, because their lives have been changed through horrible behavior. We ask for conversion of all offenders within the prisons. May your loving touch come upon them, and may they feel your love and tenderness. And we ask that you bless everyone in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for being my guest today. God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.